And I entitled the first segment, 1500 Years of Inspiration. And last week we talked about spirit and life. We're talking about the Word of God, the Bible. And more importantly, the work of the Holy Spirit through this book to transform lives all around the world, and it's been happening for centuries. And the first title that I picked, 1500 Years of Inspiration, simply refers to the time span within which the Old and New Testament scriptures were written. 66 books written by 44 different men, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, and each and every book points to redemption. Each and every book points to and reveals to us the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the last book in the canon of Scripture, the book of Revelation, many people refer to it as the book of Revelation of the end times, but that's not what it's about at all. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that John alluded to when he talks about this book. And so we're going to study a little bit further today. We've covered a lot of ground. We talked about how these books came together. The one thing that ties all 66 of these letters and books together is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. And I think you'll see some insight that maybe you hadn't seen before. But let's begin this morning with 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here Paul writing to Timothy, who at the time is pastoring the largest church in the world at Ephesus, which is found in modern-day Turkey. And he said this, beginning at verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said that, "From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, how that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. But we have a responsibility, if you will, to rightly divide the Scripture. And we talked about some minor points, you know, minor to the degree that I taught them as a sideline, but they're very important to understand. Number one, you can take any Scripture out of its context and twist it and make it say anything you want it to say. But Jesus gave us this rule of thumb when it comes to interpreting Scripture. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so you have many things that you find revealed in the Old Covenant and in the ministry of Jesus and throughout the epistles, letters written to the church, and you find them emphasized again and again and again and again. Well, we can live by those things. Are you with me? For example, Habakkuk 2:4 says, "The just shall live by faith." Romans 1:17 says, "The just shall live by faith." Galatians chapter 3 says, "The just shall live by faith." Hebrews 10:38 says, "The just shall live by faith." There you have five witnesses from the Old and New Testament that say verbatim exactly the same thing. Faith is a lifestyle for the Christian. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's important that we learn how to live by faith? Yes. I think so. God knows how important it is. That's why He inspired these authors to write the same thing again and again and again. And you have some Old Testament correlations that say the same thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Well, what is that? Live by faith. And so we have the same instruction again and again and again. So, faith is a lifestyle. Not because I said it, but rather because the Scripture emphasizes that point again and again and again and again and again. And so we can understand that the lifestyle of faith is important to the believer. In Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, literally outside of faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so if you're going to live a life pleasing to God, you have no other way to live than by faith. And of course, we know that faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, let's get back to some Bible basics. Here's some things you need to understand. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we just read through verse 17. Notice chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now the word doctrine, is a very legalistic, theological word. But the word basically, didaskalia, means teaching. That's what doctrine is, teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. It's important that we understand the truth of the Word of God, because if we don't, we will not be able to recognize counterfeits when they come down the road. The world is full of counterfeits. Whether it be different organizations or groups or doctrines that people espouse or teach, if you're not careful, if you're not familiar with what's true, you might swallow something that's false. Are you with me? Now, I'll show you how to prevent that. But we have to understand that the Word of God is important. The Word of God is not only information, but the Word of God is transformational. This is the only book on the planet that can transform your life for eternity. Not only is it the best-selling book in the world throughout history, but there's a reason why. It's because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you can recognize it readily when you read and study the book. Do you know we're supposed to study this book? Right. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul wrote that to Timothy by the Holy Spirit. And we just read part of what he wrote to Timothy. But it's important that we understand the book. Now, I remember, I shared this last week, a wholesaler that I used to deal with in St. Louis, his name was Albert Graham, and he had all his counterfeit bills up on his wall in his office that his employees had taken over the years. And I mentioned this last week. One of them was so outrageous, it was ridiculous. It was a $1 bill, George Washington, face, dead center. But yet there were all these goofy 20s pasted on all four corners. And one of his employees took that as legal tender. I mean, you could spot that counterfeit from 50 miles away. But yet, he had somebody who was green and inexperienced in his warehouse who took that for payment as a $20 bill. Well, it's not a $20 bill. It's a defaced $1 bill. But many times, people don't have enough sense to recognize a counterfeit. Why not? Because they're not familiar with what's genuine. And if you're not familiar with the truth, you're liable to swallow a lie. Now, here's what's great about what the Holy Spirit does. He takes the Word of God and He paints on the canvas of our heart and reveals God's purpose, His plan, His will for our lives. He does that through the reading of this book. Are you with me? Now, here's another basic thing. We mentioned this last week. For the believer, it's important that we understand and know the New Testament, New Covenant thoroughly. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant is the pattern for the Christian life, but nobody wears a pattern. The New Testament is fabric that we can wear. Now, recently I've been having a conversation with a couple people who think that, in order to be saved, you've got to cling to the Old Testament Torah and the law because, you know, after all, we are the real children of Israel. We had a young man come to the church one time, tried to convince me that, black Hebrews have the truth. I said, really? He said, yeah, I'm a child of Israel. I said, who's your daddy? He said, huh? I said, who's your daddy? He said, what do you mean? I said, who is your father? He said, oh, him. I said, yeah, what's his name? He said, Henry. I said, well, unfortunately, my friend, you're the child of Henry. All right? You're not the child of Jacob or Israel. You're the child of Henry. But yet, he thought that redemption lies in the Old Testament. Well, listen to me. Here's something you got to know. If you're going to live under the law, you have to practice all of the law, not part of it. If you're going to live under the law, you're debtor to the whole law, not a part of it. So you can't pick and choose what you like, what you don't like. Doesn't work that way. You do it all or none. You with me? Jesus did not come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. He is the epitome of the Old Testament wrapped up in the flesh of a man. He is God and man. He's the one who fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures. He is the redemption that they were pointing to. And so we don't live under the pattern. We live in the age of grace. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, as I said earlier, it's important that we understand how powerful this book is. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, preach the word. Notice what he did not say. Preach your tradition. Notice what he didn't say. Preach politics. A lot of people love to do that. Especially around political season. Now, I understand politics are important. We need to be involved. We need to fulfill our civic duty. We need to vote. Years ago, I was talking to a pastor on election day, and the subject of voting came up. And I just asked him, I said, Pastor, did you vote? He said, no, we don't do that. I said, what? He said, we don't vote. I said, why not? He said, well, the scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And I thought, please, see there again, taking a scripture out of its context to make it say something to fit what you believe. Many of our forefathers died for the right to vote. And for you to take that lightly, when at times we didn't have the right to vote, and just think that, well, I'm not going to do that because it's worldly. Well, so is eating breakfast. You won't have to eat breakfast in heaven. It's worldly. Because your body needs food down here. You with me? Now, take that with a grain of salt, because Jesus, in his resurrected, glorified body, ate. Remember when he was on the seashore? Called out to his disciples, said, hey, did you catch anything? They said, no. He said, come on over here. Well, first he told them, drop your net on the other side of the boat. They did. The net started to break. They realized that's Jesus. And when they got to the shore, he already had fish cooking. So, will we eat in heaven? I don't know. We have the ability to. But my point is simply this. There are a lot of things that we'll do on the earth that we don't have to do in heaven. Voting's one of them. Now, having said that, there are times people come around during the political season and want to use the pulpit to espouse their political ambition. Why? They want your vote. That's all they care about is your vote. I remember years ago, I have a friend in Connecticut, Herbert Rylander, and he pastors a powerhouse church up there around Hartford. And he said one year they were having a Martin Luther King Day celebration, And the senator, Christopher Dodd, came and wanted to speak at the celebration. And Herbert prayed about it and called the senator back and said, "I'm sorry, no." The senator said, "What?" He said, "No, this isn't a political event." He said, "Martin Luther King Jr. was a preacher." He said, "We're honoring the legacy that he left. We're not turning this into a political event." Well, the senator wasn't used to being told no. So he persisted, and he told my friend, he said, "I promise you I won't talk about politics if you just give me a few minutes." And Herbert relented and said, "Okay, you can have a few." Amen. But I remember we were over on 12th Street. You know, every political season they'd come around, and people would say, "Hey, so-and-so's sitting out there." I said, "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Preach the word. Not politics, not your doctrine, not your tradition." Why is that important? The Word of God is transformational. It changes lives. Now, turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. We're talking about Bible basics. And these are some things that we need to understand. Mark chapter 16. I'm laughing because I'm sure I offended somebody with that. But hey, par for the course. Mark chapter 16. I could tell you a story right now, but I won't. You'd like this one too, but I won't. I won't. As much as I want to, I won't. I know I have time, but I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Nope, 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 nope. Mark chapter 16. Glory to God. This is good. Jesus told his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature." Then he said this in verse 18. Well, verse 17. "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with. Now the word "them" is italicized in the King James Version. That simply means the word's not in the original text. "They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following." Notice that God confirmed the message with signs following. Not the messenger, but the message. It's the message that's important. The gospel, the word of God, the truth that we share. Here's what you need to understand. This book is transformational. God will confirm the book, the message that's contained in the book, with signs that follow. Here's what separates the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, from every other religious book. God will back this one up with signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit. I remember years ago, a minister saying, "You know, I was in India, and I had done what other missionaries do in India, and I went out and shared with them, this is the Holy Bible, this is God's Word." And he said, "They had books too," and they said, "No, this is God's Word." And he spent years in India, converted very few people to Christ, and came back to the United States, depressed and defeated. But then he heard somebody preach that God still heals the sick, that he still moves by his Spirit, and he went back to India with a new mindset, saying, "Yes, this is the Word of God. I'm going to share it with you, and then God's going to show himself alive. He's going to prove that this book is true." This same man, T.L. Osborne, many years ago, had written, this is before the Soviet Union collapsed, And he wrote to the leaders and said, I'd like to have a meeting in Red Square and preach the gospel. And the communist leaders wrote back to him and said, we've dispensed of the notion that there is a God decades ago. And so, no, you cannot preach the gospel in Red Square. He wrote them back and said, give me 1 hour if you have enough courage. 15 minutes to preach, 5 minutes to pray, and in the remaining 40 minutes, I'll show you more miracles than you can discount in 1,000 years. God confirms His Word with signs following. So we can share the truth of the book, but then we need to be open to the Holy Spirit, the author of the book, so that He can show and prove Himself alive. Are you with me? I always share with people, when you share the Word of God with people, always take an opportunity to minister to their needs if they have one. Ask them if anybody's sick. Lay hands on them. Guess what? God will heal them. Did you hear what I said? I said He will heal them. Because that's just what He does. The book is transformational. No other book has that power. That is the power that we find in God's Word. So it's important that we preach the Word, teach the Word, share the Word. Now, here's something that I want you to see. Don't always take what people tell you at face value. Many times you have to drill a little deeper to find out where they are. In other words, to locate them. I remember not long ago, I was dealing with a woman, and she said, well, it's good to know that you're a spiritual person. Well, what does that mean? Everybody's a spiritual person. Did you know that? Because everybody has a spirit. Everybody has a soul. Everybody lives in a body. We're all spiritual people. It doesn't mean that you have the life of God in you. It doesn't mean that you're a Christian. Well, since we're both spiritual people, well, you know, that's like saying, I'm glad you eat Cracker Jacks just like I do. Well, that has no bearing on your spiritual maturity. You with me? We're all spiritual. You have to dig a little deeper. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And we want to talk just a little bit about some basic foundational truths that are revealed in the Scripture that we need to not only know, but we should be able to master these. Everybody say master.
Master.
See, there are some things that as a Christian you should know. Al and I were talking just a moment ago about a particular leader in the United States of America. He's not a Christian. But not long ago, he was invited to a church in New Jersey, and he started sharing some things about Jesus. And he said, you know, I know that Jesus lives, and one of these days I'm going to have to give an account for some of the things I've been teaching. Everybody all of a sudden had an epiphany, thought, my goodness, he's coming home to Jesus. He knows Jesus is Lord. He's not a heretic after all. And then about 6 months later, there's a meeting in Chicago, and he started talking about Jesus again. He said, put that picture up on the wall. And he said, this is my Jesus. And it was a photo of Elijah Muhammad. This is my Jesus. This is the man who saved me. This is the man who redeemed me. Well, listen, Elijah Muhammad didn't die on the cross for anybody. As Margie said, he didn't shed his blood for anybody. He shared some things that were good for some people. Are you with me? But you got to drill down a little bit deeper if you want to know the truth and what people really believe. So don't get all excited because somebody said, you know, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What Jesus are you talking about? You know, the name Jesus is a very popular name in some circles. And it may be pronounced Yeshua, may be pronounced Jesus, may be pronounced Jesus. You better find out which one they're referring to. You with me? Everybody say maturity.
Maturity
is important. Now, here's another thing that we have to understand. God expects us to grow up spiritually. But you'll never grow up apart from the Word. You'll never grow up apart from understanding what the Scripture says. I don't know why that microphone's going out, but we're good. All right, Hebrews chapter 5. Are you there? Let's start with verse 12. You ready? Watch this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have become to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use, the word in the Greek literally means habitual use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That word perfection does not mean flawlessness, but rather maturity. Not laying again the foundation of, what's the foundation? Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, it's plural, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. In other words, these are the foundational principles that every Christian should be well versed in. These are the building blocks or the ABCs that every believer should understand and comprehend. Now, notice what he said early on in verse 12, chapter 5. Understand that the book of Hebrews was not written in chapter and verse. These were written or added by the translators to help separate thoughts and clarify meanings. But when he said, for this time you should be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the basics, the building blocks, the fundamentals, the ABCs. It's important that we understand the fundamentals. It's important that we understand the ABCs. You know, my wife will spend this next year working with students, teaching them how to read. And the sad part is, she'll be dealing with 7th and 8th grade students who are reading on a 1st and 2nd grade level. Why is that? They don't understand the basics. Are you with me? They don't understand phonics. You know, they don't understand how to read a simple word. Well, listen to me. You can be alive and not know how to read, but I guarantee you, you will not succeed to the degree that God intended, simply because you don't understand some basic things. Now, turn with me to James chapter 1. I want to wrap this up and share something with you that's very, very powerful. James chapter 1. All right? James chapter 1. And I want you to see something here that will help you to understand about how to recognize what's true and what's not. Years ago, there was a man who had terrorized part of the Northwest United States by planting bombs. And he had mailed some of these bombs to different people, different businesses, other bombs he had planted. And the FBI knew that it was the work of the same serial bomber because of the way he constructed these bombs. Well, one of the last bombs that he planted, he had contacted and let the authorities know that he was going to continue to terrorize through bombing unless he was able to get his manifesto printed. And he had these thoughts and ideas that he wanted all the world to see. Well, certain newspapers printed this guy's manifesto. There happened to be another fellow who read this manifesto in the newspaper and proceeded to call the FBI, and he negotiated with the Federal Bureau of Investigation to bring this bomber to justice. And the reason he did that was he recognized the writing. And when he read this manifesto, he said, I know the guy who wrote that. I've heard some of these same things before. And it turned out that this guy who the FBI labeled as the Unabomber, a guy named Ted Kaczynski, was turned in by his brother because his brother recognized the writing. Well, I told you that story for one important reason. You, as a born-again believer, have on the inside of you the ability to recognize the truth of God's Word. Now, let me show you this. James chapter 1. Are you there? James chapter 1. We'll start with verse 21. Notice what it says. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted, King James says, engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in whatever he does. Now, James writes this to the New Testament church and said this, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, the word engrafted is a Greek word that simply means something that's inborn. In other words, it's in you. Now, it's inborn either through nature, it's naturally a part of your inward being, or it's inborn through instruction, because you were taught it. Here's the thing that you need to remember. Inside of you, if you are in Christ Jesus, resides the Holy Spirit, the author of the book. And He will help you to recognize what He has authored and what He has not authored. One of the main things we need to do when it comes to hearing other things that people share is we need to run it through two filters. Number one, the book. What does the book say about that? Number two, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He's the author of the book. He recognizes what's truth and what's not. And He will alert you to things that you shouldn't be involved in. Are you with me? We talked about some situations and sessions gone by. And we were sharing this on Wednesday night. How people have been able to deceive folk through tradition, through their own doctrine. And the way they did it was they steered people away from the book. Steered them away from the Word of God. We all remember what happened back in Guyana, back in the 70s. Jim Jones deceived a lot of people. We were talking about this Wednesday night. And one of the main things he did was direct people away from the Bible. No, you don't need that, he would say. You need my teaching. Well, he thought he had a revelation that was deeper. Well, Jim Jones was a heroin addict. He was a drug addict. He was a rapist, a serial rapist. And he took advantage of people by turning them away from the truth. And then when they started to accept what he taught, apart from the Word of God, they were deceived. And I shared that, you know, and how he got all these people to drink the Kool-Aid and kill themselves. Well, one of the sisters in the Wednesday night group raised her hand and said her brother-in-law was one of those people who went to Jim Jones and Guyana and drank the Kool-Aid. Are you with me? Listen, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. He's the author of the book. He'll help you to recognize what's true and what's not. Not only that, He'll help you to understand the truth of the Word so that you can apply it to your life every day. Amen? He's the author of the book. He'll help you to understand what's true. Help you to understand what's not true. Are you with me? God is good. And remember where we began. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The Word of God needs to be a part of our diet daily. Amen? We feed our bodies every day, unless we're fasting. We need to feed our spirit on the Word of God every day. There again, begin with Matthew, hang a right. The Gospels and the letters written to the church, those were letters written to you. Amen? Did you learn anything through this series?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? We're not going to dismiss.